Hello, listeners. It's Julie with Hefzibah Talks a Lot, and I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening to my podcast, and I hope that you are enjoying the new format. I am trying something different to have a little more continuity and flow in my podcast, so I hope you like it. Now, trust me when I say there will still be random podcasts full of all my rambling, rants, segues, and digressions, so never fear. I welcome your comments and thoughts, so please send me an email at htal.podcast@gmail.com, as I would love to hear from you, and thank you for listening to my podcast. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hefzibah Talks a Lot, who has been silent since July, apparently, ironically. I don't know. But anyway, I came in to make a podcast because I haven't made a podcast in a long time. And I saw that I had an unpublished podcast from July. So I just threw it out there. I have no idea what's on it. So if it's offensive, I don't know. Usually I'm offensive, so it could very well be offensive. Maybe that's why I didn't publish it. Who knows? Maybe I had more to do with it. I don't know, but if need be, I can go and delete it. I don't know what it was. I'm not telling you to listen to it because I don't know what it is. But moving on, guys. Happy New Year. It is January 2nd, 2021 here in Kunshan, China. I've moved. I don't know if I talk about it in the podcast, but basically COVID shut down Disney English. I've had to find other jobs. Long story short, I now work at a middle school teaching English. So, that is the quickest update I can give you. So here's the thing, people. I'm thinking about a lot of different things. But I want to focus primarily on the love of God. Because I feel like, I mean, that's just everything. I think without the love of God, we have nothing to base our lives on. I rest securely in the fact that I am loved by God, even on my worst possible day, even on a day when I can't love myself, which is far more common than I probably lead on to people. I live a life of being undervalued. And I don't say this in a way like, oh, pity me or feel sorry for me. Essentially, while I have a very loud personality and I can definitely make myself seen and known, I also do not care for myself very much in the sense that I just don't like myself. I've said it before and I've written about it in my blog, that Pink song, Don't Let Me Get Me, is my anthem of life. And we were talking about it a couple nights ago. And the lady I was speaking with was like, well, I wouldn't call it an anthem because that's something that motivates you. And I go, it truly does motivate me. While the song itself may not seem like it's an uplifting song, the fact that a music artist such as Pink could actually sing a song that relates very dynamically to the angst I feel within myself tells me I'm not alone and I can just power through it with the strength of Jesus Christ because I could not do it alone. And I can face whatever life throws at me. So it really is an anthem in my life. And while there are times I listen to it and I cry, there are times when I just listen to it because it's just like, thank you for understanding that there are times I just don't like myself. Unfortunately, these times are more than they should be. And the interesting thing is that God has dealt with me about this and told me I have to start to learn to love myself, but I really have a hard time with that. And a lot of this stems back to being raised in a lot of negativity. We all have our flaws, guys. I'm not complaining about my childhood. Well, I experienced some things in my childhood that I'm not going to rehash here that I feel were detrimental to my self-compassion and my self-worth. I do not despise my parents. I love my mother and my father. And they did the very best they could and do the very best they can, considering the fact that we are all flawed human beings living in a sinful and broken world. And I think there's a lot to be said about reaching a dynamic in your life where you can just, for lack of better expression, let it go and embrace the fact that your parents aren't perfect, and unless they outright claim to be, they know they're not perfect. But that doesn't mean that in their flawed and broken way of showing you love that they are horrible human beings and you should hate them. Let me just add the caveat that any form of intense physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, or sexual abuse, along with any kind of drug abuse, outright violence, you know if your parents were straight up not parenting you. You know the difference. But if your parents just had flaws, like maybe they were too overprotective, maybe they were too overbearing, but they weren't essentially abusive and destructive and in any form of the word abusive, as I covered just a second ago, then let it go, guys. Seriously, don't hold grudges against your parents. We're seeing now with this politics that people will disown their family because they don't agree on politics. And it's like you got to detach yourself from politics emotionally. Now, while emotions can definitely lead us to making significant changes in laws by passing legislation because something happens that triggers an emotional response that makes us respond logically and create new laws and legislation that protects people or does whatever needs to happen, makes significant changes. At the same time, to disown family because somebody voted for President Trump while someone voted for President Biden, it doesn't really matter. We need to stop letting politics divide our family. But that was for free because that's not what this is about. Although you would think we are talking about love. So maybe at the very beginning of this, I shared a part from 1 John. I'm reading 1 John and it's interesting because it's all about love. And even when he addresses other things, he talks about love because the foundation of our life is love. And the thing is, guys, since I moved to China, I've maybe attended one church service. I shouldn't even say maybe. I've attended one church service. COVID has shut down churches. I'm going to try to find a church this year close to me, but I don't know if that will happen. There are very strict laws here in China where foreigners have specific Christian services that they can attend where they're spoken in English, and locals are not allowed to attend these services. Ironic as that sounds. I don't know if a foreigner that speaks Chinese can attend a Chinese service. I wouldn't, because I don't speak Chinese and I'd have no idea. But I do know for a fact that at least in Shanghai, that locals cannot attend a foreigner service, which is very interesting. And I don't look into the laws about it. It was just something I learned along the way. But essentially, like, I have lived a life of distance from God. Not to say that I've full-blown thrown caution to the wind and not cared, but I definitely have not been actively seeking my relationship with God in China. I've had moments where I have ebbs and flows, just like people do in America, just like people do everywhere else. The situation is that at one point, a few months ago, I was doing my cursory, let me just cover my bases when I go to sleep prayer, and I literally felt like Holy Spirit jarred my heart and said, you don't even have a relationship with Christ anymore. And that really kind of woke me up because he was like, yeah, you're saved, you're going to heaven. However, you better be careful because you legitimately do not have a relationship with Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you all. If any of you that know that maybe got distanced, life got in the way, whatever, you were hurt. That was my thing, guys. I got hurt and I put up walls. And it's really hard for me to let these walls down. It's hard for me to let these walls down to let Christ closer and to let people closer. It's interesting when you discover just how damaging an experience can be, that even though in the moment you knew it was damaging, I mean, I actually even developed a physical ailment from one of the situations involving these people. However, there was so much. This was over 10 years ago, and I'm still healing from it. And I think it kind of helps me to be empathetic toward divorcees, which I'm really so sick of the church treating divorced people like that's the sin of the church. Like, oh, should divorced people remarry? They're sinners. And it's just like, you got to just let it go, dude, like legitimately. That phrase, I'm sorry, it's just got to be. But why are the divorced people the ones that we're constantly attacking in church? And we shouldn't be. Like no one should be attacked in church. I just feel like because divorced people, like it's considered a sin if they remarry to most people. I don't know why, but I know what the Bible says, guys. I'm not saying like, don't write me and tell me what the Bible says. I'm fully aware. I just feel like we are very, very judgy considering the fact that we're sinners as well. And we feel like our sins are okay, but theirs are not. And that is one of the pandemics of the church is my sin's okay. My family's sin's okay, but someone else does this and it's horrible. Like I can remember a conversation I had with a mom, and you know, sexual sin is sexual sin, guys. I mean, we sugarcoat it all the time. The media makes it okay. The world makes it okay, but it's not. Sex outside of marriage is a sin, period, point blank, end of story. And I'm not going to go into the other things, but you know, based on the Bible, that marriage between a man and a woman is the only time that there should be sex. That's it. End of story. Done. And only between the husband and the wife. Not the husband, wife, and a friend. You know, and then there is one way physically to have sex, and other ways are perverse. And I know people don't believe that because they say the marriage bed is undefiled, but that's not what that means. That means that in the marriage bed for a man and woman to engage in sexual congress means that they are okay. It's not a sin and it's not impure. But you can do certain things in the marriage bed that defiles the marriage bed, even if you don't believe that, it is 100% true. And I just like went off on a tangent there. But people in church will pick their sin and they'll defend it. And so this woman, and I said her a mother, she was a mother, but I think she was defending her niece, not her daughter. But of course, talking about sexual sin, and she said, like, when it came in the conversation about her niece engaging in sexual intercourse outside of marriage, her response was, oh, well, she's just experimenting. She's in college. And I'm like, no, she's sinning. It's interesting. It's interesting how we will sugarcoat the sins we do or sugarcoat the sins others do that we care about. But then we will throw the rock at the person we don't like or the sin that we can't be considered a hypocrite for. And I think that's part of what happens with this woman caught in adultery when Jesus says, whoever is without sin can throw the first stone, but all of us are sinners. And why are you acting this way? Now, this is, of course, not to negate the fact that we need to judge sin in the church. I'm talking about us not sugarcoating our own sin. One of the biggest accepted sins in the church, although sexual immorality is definitely on the rise, is being accepted. But one of the biggest sins accepted is gluttony. And it's not even talked about. It's not even preached about, guys. I'm guilty of gluttony. I can full on admit it. And gluttony is not just about food. Like, I definitely have a gluttony problem. With food, of course. If you look at gluttony in the church, you look at how most of our fellowshipping, involves food, and usually it involves potlucks, and usually these potlucks are copious amounts of food, just so much food, and food gets thrown away, people eat till they're sick. If you look at America, one of the biggest holidays is Thanksgiving, where people just go and engorge themselves in this Thanksgiving meal and just stuff themselves to the gills, and throw away a lot of the food. One of the best years my mom and I had Thanksgiving was it was just us. We had a very small meal. And then we took our leftovers and we made individual plates. And we drove around and looked for homeless people and just gave them plates of Thanksgiving dinner. And I feel like if we did something like that, making sure, of course, to be safe about it, but to bless others, invite the family from down the street that you know, especially now with COVID. I mean, Thanksgiving's over, guys. It's, you know, a moot point at this juncture. However, the economy still needs to make a bounce back. We've got all this stuff going on. So I think it's still valid. And I am digressing. I do that so well. But anyway, like in 1 John, it talks about us loving one another. And that love comes from God. And God is love. And then if we say that we love God, but then we hate somebody. It says if you hate your brother. But let's just be legitimately honest. If you look at Romans 12, it talks about loving even your enemies. Like, now in Romans 12, it says, because this heaps hot coals upon their head. So it's kind of like, woohoo. But, guys, you waste so much energy hating. To hate someone, just, it attaches you to them. You get emotionally heightened. And it's such a waste of energy. And I see this all the time with any kind of campaigning. Now we're going to see if the results come out where it's actually Biden has won, because we all know that this election has been really strange. At this point, Biden has won. However, there's been so many affidavits and things about voter fraud. We all know voter fraud happened, guys. I'm not saying to the detriment or to the extent that Biden did not win, but I am saying that we have seen voter fraud, and I don't believe he won by the numbers he won by. But that is, I'm not saying he did not win. I'm saying he did not win by such a margin. I believe that there was significant voter fraud. And I'm not saying it's just on that side. I believe there was also some on the other side because, let's face it, it happens. If we don't deal with this voter fraud, we're never going to choose our president again. But that's a whole other podcast, and life goes on. Anyway, we're going to now see. We've seen it with President Trump, with all these hate things. When he got COVID, people actually celebrated him getting sick. You've got to be kidding me. Your level of hatred has got to be something for you to be rejoice in someone else's illness. It's disgusting. We're going to see the flip now. Should Biden actually be sworn into office and take the role as POTUS? We are going to see that happen with the other side. Now, maybe not to the extreme, because I do feel like Republicans tend to... This is going to sound really biased, but I feel like Republicans and conservatives tend to spew facts more than hate. But I do know that there are Republicans out there that are hateful. I'm not saying that we're not. I just feel like the liberal left tends to just spew hate and mockery, whereas the conservatives can go like, this is why we don't like this person. So like with President Obama, for instance, I can tell you the first thing he did in office was the thing I said would be the first thing he did in office, which was reverse the partial birth abortion ban. And anyone that allows partial birth is of the devil. I don't give a rat's ass, and I'm sorry about the language, who you are. But anybody that lets an almost fully termed child be partially birthed and inside the birth canal suck out the brains and crush the skull is of the devil. You're a freaking Satanist. I don't give a rat's ass. I'm not talking about abortion rights now. I'm talking about partial birth abortion. One form of abortion, which is outright murder, and is heinous and disgusting and horrible. And that was one of the first things President Obama allowed when he stepped into office. I don't like President Obama. I feel like he ruined America with his Obamacare. I feel like he did a lot of detrimental things in office. I feel like he also did good things, because I can look at things logistically and logically, but I feel like he was not a very good president to have, and I feel like Biden's going to be the same, because Democratic views do not align with conservative views, so I'm not going to agree with a lot of the things he does. However, I can also look at the good that a president does, even if I don't agree with the president, and that is what detaching emotion means. I digress. Politics are on my brain a lot. Here's the point, guys. We need to love one another, and even though it says brother, I believe that has to carry on to the neighbor. We remember the Good Samaritan thing. So who was the neighbor? The one that cared for the man. Guys, it is hard because our views are so different. And right now, especially in America, we're getting to a place where any disagreed view is considered a bigot and a bias. We had the Black Lives Matter movement just run roughshod over America in 2020. And riots and looting and all this stuff. And if you look back at every election year, this is the agenda of politics. If they can divide America, then they get us to stop the conversation. And by stopping conversation and becoming everything heightened emotion, you end up not being able to talk about what matters. And then we have results like what we have. Okay? We're facing an unprecedented time, and the reason we are facing this time is because God is going to send Jesus Christ back to call his church home. All right? And we need to be, if you're a Christian, you need to be diligent and you need to be praying, just like I need to be seeking God and be diligent in praying. If you're not a Christian, you need to take some time to really assess what matters. Because honestly, guys, the world is going to end. And I'm not like a doomsdayer. And I don't know the day and the hour because the Bible specifically says that I will not know that. Okay? So I don't even speculate. I know it's close. Jesus will come like a thief in the night and the world will fall into total chaos. And if you look at COVID-19 and the fact that we just got a new strain once they got a vaccine, it's not coincidence. And of course, you got to also look at the fact that even though this is a new strain, chances are the vaccine might still work with that, preventing COVID. However, we just have to be aware, guys, that this is our new reality because the Bible talks to us about plagues and things that are going to come. And I feel like this is one of the ones that's just going to be there and it's going to keep adapting and it's going to keep changing and we're going to keep finding new strains. And our new reality is going to be to show how much we care about each other and how much we love one another. At the start of all this stuff, I talked about the church showing that they cared by obeying the mandates of the government when they were just blanket mandates over the entire mass gathering world. And a lot of Christians chose to oppose that. And so now a lot of governors and power people are overstepping their bounds and they're making it where they're persecuting churches specifically. And now we have a fight. And we have this fight because we didn't show the world that we cared. So I don't know how much support we're going to have. And all I'm going to say is to people that are anti-maskers, which tends to be the conservative side, which is really strange, just be smart about it. Like, you don't have to cave to, like, the stupid mandates, like the severe mandates. You just have to show people you care. Because if we look at 1 John 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Okay? And then I'm going to go ahead and read 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. And there's a note down here and it says, in the Bible, hatred and love as moral qualities are not primarily emotions, but attitudes expressed in actions. And I feel like that is what masking is all about. If you're going to profess to care about anybody, and if you want anyone to care about what you say, wear a mask. There are certain caveats to this. There are certain things where, like, if a person, if it's more detrimental for them to wear the mask, medically, legitimately medically, then don't harm yourself. I get that, okay? Then, of course, we have, like, the people with disabilities that literally cannot. They just can't. We get this. However, if you are not in those two categories, guys, and I'm not saying to, like, feign medical excuses, okay? There was a woman at an event that claimed that she was so uber sun sensitive that she needed to be cut in front of the line of this event. And we're just like, you're standing in the sun without a hat. Like, if you were sun sensitive, you would have planned ahead for this. If it was like an actual medical condition. She did not have any kind of protective anything. And if you knew you were going to be waiting in a queue, you knew you were going to be waiting in a line. It's a Disney event that is packed out and sold out. You know there's going to be a line. Why would you think these things? So we know there's people that fake medical, and that's kind of, not kind of, that's detrimental. That's a bad thing. If you have a legitimate medical reason to not wear a mask, then by all means, you know, do what must be done. But if you do not have a legitimate medical reason, don't make one up. Just wear the mask. It's not about government power. Like I said, you don't have to cave to the insane mandates. However, showing people you care is going to be more likely to get them to hear what you are saying. It's just, it's the laws of nature. If I don't think you care about me, I don't care what you have to say. Your opinion means nothing to me. So, well, people's opinions tend to mean nothing to me in general because they're opinions, right? Anyway, moving on. That's why you can't take things personally, guys. So I'm going to end with this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And as children of God, we have certain obligations. We have to identify sin in our own lives, and we need to get rid of it. Remove the plank from your own eye before you try to adjust a speck in someone else's. Now, I'm not talking about being perfect, because that is not going to happen this side of heaven. However, don't be blatantly sinning and then attempt to correct the sin of another. Deal with your sins, and that way, if you are called out on these sins, you can completely and totally say that you are... Sorry, my voice got aggressive. My cats were fighting, and I had to spray them with a water bottle. But anyway, if you are being hypocritical, if you're sinning in the same form of the person that you're correcting, and you're not apologetic about your sin. However, you have to be upfront. So if someone's like, yeah, but I know that you're blah, 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 you could be like, yes, I am. And I'm working daily with Holy Spirit to overcome this sin. Okay? When it says judge not lest ye be judged, the caveat there is just know that the judgment you're giving, you're going to get. So if you're going to call someone out on their sin, be aware that that could happen to you and will happen. We will all face judgment, guys. It's just, you know, will Jesus be your judge or your savior? So dealing with sin in church is important. And then showing people you care in action. Not all this stuff, guys. It's crazy. But don't attack people for not wearing a mask. And don't think you're better than people that wear masks. You know, we see both sides. We see the people that refuse to wear a mask and like mock and condemn those that are wearing masks. And then we see those that refuse to wear a mask. I mean, that wear masks and attack people that aren't wearing masks, like verbally and physically attack people. Like, just stop. And be kind and patient with people working in stores and restaurants. They're doing what they're being told by their employer. And it's not that much of an inconvenience, guys. Just keep going on with your life. Support businesses. Help them keep their jobs. And don't make their jobs harder. Just don't. It's not much of an inconvenience to wear your mask to enter a restaurant and take it off at your table. It's not that big of an inconvenience. It really isn't. We make way too big of a deal. We're all straining at gnats while the camel's rump is in our soup. But anyway, guys, I digress. I wish you a very, very prosperous and healthy new year. I just pray that any of you that have been hard hit by COVID, either by illness, by loss, or by job loss, that you just find 2020 to be an amazingly good year. And I just pray that we can become unified as a nation and stop being so divided. Because as long as we stay divided, the devil wins. And we need to stop letting him win. God bless you. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:1-5. Hello everybody, it's Julie with Hephzibah Talks a Lot. I'm just going to take 1 second, okay, maybe a little longer, to talk to you about writing.com. Now, I'm not doing this for any money or anything. I'm just letting you know about a great supportive community that I think it would be great for you to join. Writing.com has been around for a long time. They actually started out as stories.com, and I stumbled on them when I was a lot younger. And joined, and eventually they got too big for that domain and became writing.com.
in order to encompass more than just storytelling. This website is amazing. It is a community of writers and readers. So if you're not a writer, but you love to read, join writing.com. If you don't really read a lot because you're so busy, but you love to write, join writing.com. If you're a little bit of both, join writing.com. It's an amazing community. Now you can get a free account, and then they have paid memberships. I currently just do the second tier, the upgraded membership, and it allows me to have more items in my portfolio. I love to pay to have a membership because I love to support writing.com. That's the main reason that I pay to keep my membership updated and current. But I just wanted to have an advertisement about writing.com. Once again, not for any monetary gain. It's not even an official one. They won't even know I'm doing it. But I just want to encourage people to go and join writing.com. It is truly a place that has helped me develop as a writer. It has helped me be encouraged. And I have met people there that have been my friends through the distance online and have supported me and offered me advice with my writing and have been there with me or for me as I've made these transitions to China and other locations. So once again, writing.com, writing.com. Join today.